Good morning. Magandu umaga namaste and buenos dias. It's great to have you here today. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Loving God, open our eyes to see and ears to hear your message for our life this day. And open our hearts to the ways of grace that we who are here might be rich in the ways of God. In his name we pray. Amen. 23rd Psalm. You know it? We hear it a lot of different ways, but I thought the first line was very interesting. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not... The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not... Really? You don't want anything? Isn't it an interesting first line? You know, I like to go out to eat. Anybody else? I love to go out to eat. But I have a hard time when I go to restaurants. You know, we go to a restaurant, the maitre d' or whoever, host, hostess, whatever they are. They come, they take you to the table, you get a menu. They ask you, what drink do you want? And usually I'm pretty good about that. I get water. There's the calorie and doctor thing. He says, you know, you got to cut back. Plus also, it's, you save a little money that way too. But then I get water, but then I have to order. And the waiter and the waitress come and says, what do you want? What would you like? And I'm telling you, that's when I get in trouble. There's chicken, baked, fried, broiled, all kinds of ways with all kinds of spices. There's fish, and I enjoyed fish recently, especially salmon. Then there's beef, and I really like beef. I was raised in that culture. I really like hamburgers. But the doctor says you ought to be really careful of that stuff. There's pork chops. There's vegetarian. There's all kinds of stuff, and what do I do? Then they come to the potato. Baked, fried, mashed, steak fries, curly fries, shoestring fries, and something called rice pilaf. Whatever pilaf is, I don't know. But you can have that too. Then there's vegetables, and I like almost every kind of vegetable except for Brussels sprouts. I'm not real fond of Brussels sprouts. But I have to make all these choices. And the difficulty for me isn't that I don't like anything. What's the difficulty? I like it all. I want it all. Because if I have the chicken, I can't have the beef. If I have the beef, I can't have the fish. If I have the fish, I can't have the pork. And I like it all. And, I probably have enough money. I could have it all, except the physical limitations of my structure say, no, you can't have it all. You will make yourself sick if you get everything you want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, as I was looking at this message today and thinking about issues of want, and issues of money, and issues of things in our life, and stuff in our life, I thought about what kinds of things have I wanted in my life. And I'm ashamed to tell you the list that I've got. You know, a lot of my life I wanted a car. And I got a car, and then I wanted a faster car. And then on a faster car, I wanted a bigger car. And I've wanted a fishing boat. And I've wanted rods and reels for that fishing boat. And I want books. I want lots of books. And when Amazon.com came out, it almost killed me. Because, you order it online, it's real easy to do. It drives you crazy. You got to watch yourself. I wanted a TV, and I wanted a bigger TV. And then I wanted a color TV. And then there's a high-definition thing coming out that I'm sure I'm going to want it at a certain size as well. Then computers came out, and I wanted a computer. And I wanted games for my computer. And then they had better computers, and I wanted a new computer with better games and faster games. And then I wanted a faster computer. And I wanted board games as well as computer games. And I wanted shoes in my life. And I wanted clothes in my life. I wanted a barbecue out back that I could use for my family in my life. I wanted a bigger car. I wanted a better car. I wanted a huge car. And now I want a small car that doesn't burn much gas. I wanted more books. I wanted tools. I wanted a chainsaw. And so about 5 years ago, I went out and bought a chainsaw. Used it once. But I figure every man ought to have a chainsaw. How stupid can that be? Right? Please don't say yes. I wanted more clothes. I wanted more shoes. I wanted work boots. So I could wear those work boots every now and then and let people know I do physical labor because I've got work boots. I wanted lots and lots and lots of stuff. And how is that for us? And we say without batting an eye, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So do you want anything? Over Memorial Day weekend, we had the privilege of being in Wisconsin at a little place we have up there that we like to vacation as family. And there's a little lake I like to go fishing at. And so when we went up there this year, I went to a little bait shop to buy some bait to do some fishing. And there's these wonderful things hanging up called fishing lures. Any of you fish? Beautiful fishing lures. And there was this floating lure that, you know, I liked. It looked really good, and I know bass would be really interested in that. So I bought it, and I went home. But then I looked at my tackle box, and under everything in the bottom of the tackle box, there's a floating lure is what it was for bass, almost just like the one I had bought. So I had two. But it's a little different, so it's probably okay. As I was looking around other places where all my fishing stuff was, I noticed there was a bunch of things I had piled on this table, and I unpiled that, and guess what I found there? A fishing lure that's identical. No wonder I liked it so much. I had one already. How do we do that to ourselves? How do we do that to ourselves? We shall not want. This year, you know, our Appalachian Service Project team is leaving Saturday for Tennessee, and there's 60 of us going. I mean, that's a big crew, so we're a little nervous. So pray for us as we go down there. But this year, our whole family is going, five of us. At the most in the past, it's been three. And while we were in our place in Wisconsin, they have a little flea market there, a place where you can go and buy a lot of good stuff. I mean, you can get stuff you need really cheap. And you can get stuff you don't need really cheap. You can get it all, right? It's all there. So, five of us going on ASP, and, you know, do we have enough tools for all that? We're going to be in at least three different work crews, so we may need some tools, and usually we don't need tools. It's not a high priority in our house. But we thought about, do we need hammers? You know, do we have a hammer for everybody? And so we were looking at hammers a little bit, but then I said, well, why don't we go home and look and see what we have first. It may cost us more back in Illinois than at this flea market, but, yeah, I think we may have enough. I wasn't sure. But we may have enough. So I went through my garage. And I want to show you our hammers. I got some hammers. I've got standard wooden hammer. I've got standard wooden hammer. I've got a standard wooden hammer with green paint. It's different. And this is really probably from ASP. I think I stole it, is probably what it is. So I got to take this one back. I've got also a standard wooden hammer with red duct tape. You got to have one of those. It hammers different, right? I've got metal handle. I've got another standard wooden handle. I've got the fiberglass stuff is just awesome. I got a yellow handle with a fiberglass thing, and I've got a yellow handle with a fiberglass thing, and a yellow handle with a fiberglass thing. Oh, and you know, with duct tape, regular duct tape. I got the red duct tape. You got to have a regular duct tape one as well, don't you? And I've got one. Oh, I got the red duct tape, but I just got the red handle on this one. I've got this one that I got recently. It's called a ball peen hammer. I don't know what you hammer with a peen. I don't know what a peen is, but that's what it is, right? I got a hammer. My favorite? Finishing hammer for the big jobs, right? The little thing is one we use in our house. And here's the one. When I was 50 years old, your friend in the church got me this. That looks wicked, doesn't it? Like a medieval torture device. It's an ergonomic hammer. And when I turned 50, they got me this hammer. Now, I don't know if it was that they were concerned about me not hurting myself or whether it was just a shot at my age. I think it was a shot at my age. You turn 50, you need a different kind of hammer. But ergonomic means it's not as hard on your body, you know? And so what's great about this hammer, ergonomic, is when you hand it to somebody else to do the work, it doesn't hurt your wrist. Thank you, Rick. And if you think, for the little jobs, did we have enough hammers? It was an honest question. We ought to go home and see if we have enough questions. And I have 16 right there on the table. I do have a big sledgehammer also in Wisconsin. The only time I picked up was to buy it at the flea market. That's the only time I picked it up 3 years ago.
How is it?
Now, am I the only one with this? Prayer with this many hammers, I'm sure. How do we do that? How do we let that happen to us? In our culture, I think we are a culture sometimes of a culture of stuff and not necessarily what we need. Over and over again, we are encouraged by the news around us, our neighbors around us, the TV around us, pop-ups on our computer, that we are encouraged and enculturized to want more and to want bigger and to want better. And sometimes it really feels like to be an American is to be somebody who wants more. More stuff. More stuff. Are we not told? It keeps our system going when you buy stuff. And we're encouraged to want and to want and to want. Even as we come every Sunday and hear and have memorized, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But who are we as a people of God? Recently, we know times in our economy have been difficult. And the government has sent rebate checks out to encourage, you know, to stimulate, to do some things in our economy. And it's been interesting to hear the discussion about those rebate checks. What have they told you? Have they said to you, we are going to send you a rebate check, and if you have some debt that's kind of burdening you, you ought to pay that debt down? Have they said that? Have you heard that? I haven't heard that. Have you heard, we're going to send a rebate check out, and you know, you may have a child going to college, or you know, you may retire someday. You ought to put that in a nice saving plan. Be responsible. Put it, save it. Put it away. Have they said that? What have they said? They're getting a rebate check. So put up a new barn. Be happy. How can we be a people as blessed as we are? And sometimes not in the big stuff. But how did I not know? I've got 15 hammers. How did I not know that? How do we not know what we've got? How do we think we need something else? And how do we let others talk us into us that you do need the bigger and the better because everybody else has it? And what happens because of that? In today's gospel reading, Jesus, somebody comes to Jesus and says, come to my brother and tell him, you got to share the inheritance. It's only fair. And that's probably true, and that's very right. And Jesus might have said, well, share the inheritance. You ought to do that. But he saw a better opportunity. He saw perhaps this person who had that issue in their life, perhaps they were defined by that property itself. And the property itself was more important than their life. That property itself was more important than their relationship with their brother or their sister or their God. And he doesn't go there. He says, who are you to make me that judge? And be careful. Be careful of greed. Maybe that person had more than they needed, but they still wanted it. And he uses that opportunity to say, we ought to be careful in the ways of being rich in the ways of the world. And we ought to look to being rich in the ways of God. There's something about stuff and there's something about money that Jesus teaches us is very important for us to get straight. At other places, Jesus tells us you cannot worship God and money. He raises money, the issues of money, to the equivalence of worshiping God. He says it, we don't. He tells another rich young ruler who comes to him, ask him for advice. You want my advice? Sell all you have and give to the poor and come follow me. And the guy goes away mourning. And I don't think he's telling all of us, sell all we have and give to the poor. No, that would be irresponsible. But he saw in this man, that stuff that he had was standing in the way of following him. And knowing what God was about and being rich in the ways of God. How is it we as a people who talk about the importance of love and grace still find ourselves collecting 16 hammers? And I can't remember the last time a nail was nailed at our house. Now, some of you are thinking, oh, Pastor, good setup. A couple weeks you're going to ask us for something, right? We're going to do a donation or an offering. No, no, no. You know, we're very honest about how we do that around here at our Redeemers. In the fall, we do pledge stuff. We ask you to think about how much you are to give to God's ministry in this place. We ask you to search your heart. We can encourage you to do tithing and percentage giving. That's who we are. That's what we do. We want to be honest about that. But that's not this. This is about having our relationship with money straight. Because it impacts our culture, impacts us individually, and impacts our families in so many often negative ways. In the last 4 or 5 years, we have had some words that have become part of the culture. Do you know the word Enron? Huge company that was the top of its game in the world and came crashing down. Why? And if you read some of that, it was like, you know, more and more and more. We can do it. It's easy. It's a game. The money's a game. And yet, even as that company came crashing down, people's retirements, people's security came crashing down with it because of that game. More, more, more. Recently, we've heard of Bear Stearns. You've heard of Bear Stearns? Investment company that's been bailed out by our government. And part of the issue is, you know, that subprime stuff, you invest a little bit and the return possibilities are enormous. We can be bigger and bigger and bigger. Even as it crashes and crashes and crashes. And we know that happened. Those organizations and businesses that like to really ramp it up and try to get too much, and sometimes at the expense of others, that is true. I had lunch with one of our finance person who works in the banks in our church. He gave me a little cartoon article about how corporations and banks and those things say, you know, it's a great deal, and then they pass on the risk to somebody else. It's a great deal, they pass it on to somebody else until somebody really gets hurt. And this is a banking guy who gave it to me. It wasn't somebody else. It happens. We also know we just can't blame organizations and banks. We like to do that sometimes, don't we? But we know individuals that go in way over their heads. The house is too big. The car is too big. The credit cards are too many. That plastic is huge in your wallet, and it's weighing you down. We know it's important for us as followers of Christ to really say He's Lord. We just don't come to hear a good story from Jesus. He is Lord in our life. It's important that we get straight about the issues He talks about and now about the issues of wealth and money. It's important we know, as followers of Jesus Christ, money is a tool and a wonderful tool. We're not here to demonize it. It's a wonderful tool to be used for our needs and sometimes our wants. That's okay. It's a wonderful tool for us to use with our friends and our family. It's a wonderful tool that we can use to help others out around us. It is not. Money should not be that which is our master. We have to think of that every time. Lifestyle should not be our master in the way in which we can buy it in our culture and in our world. Because when we go there, it hurts us. And sometimes it kills us. If money is our master because we are too much in debt, if money is our master because we want to hit that million, if money is our master because we want to have the best and the brightest and nobody else is going to outdo us, not only does that lead sometimes to wear debt up to our eyebrows, but it hurts and destroys loving relationships. And is that what you want? Is that what you want? If money is our master in our workplace, sometimes in the workplace, we know people who have cut corners because they think they can get it or they want more. And it's not only an iffy ethical thing that they do, but in the future it will hurt and sometimes destroy people because they're cutting corners because money is the master. How do we get straight on what it means to be followers of Jesus Christ with all that we have and with all that we are? Let me just share basics that we have shared a little bit before, just about some of the issues of money. And then let me tell you what I really want. And it's not a hammer. What I really want. When we think about money in our culture and in our society and who we are, I know we all borrow money, don't we? If my dad couldn't borrow money, he would never have been able to get a car to go to work. Borrowing is not bad, and yet, debt so often can be a downer. You have to watch the debt in your life. It will become your master. We also know consumer debt, that which we do not have to have. Sometimes we have to have a car and we have to borrow. We have to have a house and sometimes it's good to borrow that. But that debt which we do not have to have, that consumer credit card debt is a double downer. And we have seen consumer debt in our culture. Zoom, even the last 10 years as we've talked about the problems with it, it still goes up. Third, there's something profound about remembering the lessons of your grandparents. Did you ever hear this? You ought to live within. There's something profoundly godly about that. When we live within our own means, when we don't let the means live us, we have the freedom sometimes to love and be people of grace and to be people with our family more and give time more to the ways of God and love and possibilities. Live within your means. And I know I sound like a broken record for my great-grandparents, but that's okay. Live within your own means. Finally, in terms of just the basics, who are you? Who are you? And what I'm really tired of is I'm tired of people coming on the news and telling me, you know who you are? You're an American consumer. And they keep interviewing me, finding out what my attitude is about the economy. And I've yet to get a call. How about you? Is your identity as a consumer? And will we go to our rest? Will we go to our retirement saying, you know, bragging about this is how much I consumed? Instead of that one that consumes, can we possibly be those who create in love? Who are you? And what do you want to be? Because this is a real question, you know. Your pastor has 16 hammers. And I've talked about this for 7 years. And it's real. It's real. In the gospel today, Jesus says, you know, you need to be rich in the ways of God. And that's really what I want. I don't mind going out to eat. But how can I be rich in the ways of God? This week I had two wonderful examples. Just a hint, I think, of what it means to be rich in the ways of God. On Thursday night at our annual conference, it's a large group of people we meet at Pheasant Run, for those of you that are new around here. There were 1,088 people came this year. Pastors, and then at least 2 to 3 lay people from each Methodist church in the northern Illinois area. We're kind of Joliet north all the way up to the Wisconsin border. That's who we are. So there are 1,088 of us there talking about church policy and all kinds of things. But Thursday night, we had two speakers get up and talk about Nothing But Nets campaign. Have you heard of that one? Nothing But Nets. It's a cooperation, a partnership between United Methodist Church, the NBA, the WNBA, the Bill Gates Foundation, in which money is raised so that they can buy nets, mosquito nets, that can go to places where malaria is such a problem. And for $10, you can get a net. That net, with that money, they can take that net to the place where it's needed and even tell people how to use it in the best way so their kids won't die from malaria. It's a great program. It's a great program. The Gates Foundation has promised to match $3 million from the Methodist Church when we raise it. And so it's just a great possibility for us to share gospel in many different ways. We were there and we heard some tragic stories about that. And then they said, well, all of you here today, we from our conference, we've committed $40,000 just from this conference to go to the Methodist, and we're going to take an offering now. And Jill Woodnatz, who's a member of our church and board and society for a conference, she reminded me they were doing it, and your pastor is forgetful sometimes. So I forgot, and I just had $7 in my pocket. That's all I had. So and people are giving pretty big checks because they believe. So, you know, just $7. I mean, you're tossing it in the open. What are you going to do? They called, and 1,000 people walked forward. And I threw my $7 down. And then as I turned and watched people coming up, people that buy nets for people they will never see. Nets they will never see. No complete guarantee that everything is going to go the way they want it to go. They just trust it. And for a church of Christ to step forward and say, yeah. And $23,000 just on that one. Just that day. It was amazing. It was amazing. And I walked away without a penny in my pocket, but I felt so rich. Felt so rich, to be rich in the ways of God. Secondly, it's not just those big things, the being part of that which is, you know, it's love too. And it's just the everyday things. That same day when at annual conference, we had something in the evening that I thought I was going to go to, but I didn't. And so I came home early. Home. And I opened the door and walked in, and my family was there in the living room staring at me. They looked like a cat that just ate the bird. They were conspiring to go out to dinner without me is what they were doing. And I caught them, and they said, what are you doing home? You know, but we talked about it. We decided we were going out to eat. We went out to eat. It was a wonderful dinner. It was a buffet, unfortunately, which is not really good for me. But it was a wonderful dinner, especially I like the double chocolate brownie with the ice cream. And if you know my doctor, please don't tell him I had that because he'd be upset about that. But it was a wonderful dinner. But In spite of the really good food that was there, we sat there for a long time and we just talked. Five of us, and we hadn't done that for a long time. We talked about school. We talked about politics. That seems to be the thing these days. We talked about religion. And you can imagine that, right? We talked about our family. We argued about things. We debated things. We talked about things we read. And the waiter came by three times. Do you need anything? No, we're fine. Thank you very much. But just the sense of being there. And just, you know, and that's rich in the ways of God. You know, just to be there and to appreciate the real gifts God has given me. And not to let worry of what I want or worry of how much debt I'm in or worry about those material things in my life, not to let that get in the way is a gift to be rich in the ways of God. So my question is, the Lord is your shepherd, so what do you want? Isn't that the question? What do you want? When Jesus says to be rich in the ways of God, it's not to be judgmental or to say you got to buck it up and do this. He's inviting us to know the true gifts of life, not the gifts that you can buy, but the true gifts of love that we are given. So my prayer for us is that we as a people of God get it straight, that we know how many hammers we've got at home, that we know what we need and what we want. But especially, we know the ways of love and of grace. Let's bow for prayer. Loving God, we thank you for the many gifts that you give us. We thank you for the gifts of material things, and we know that provides life for us and food for us and resources for us, and also opportunities to give and help those who are in need. But especially, Lord, we thank you for the gifts of you and how we may be rich in the ways of God, and it won't cost us a thing. So, Lord, open our eyes and ears and heart to your ways that we might know the true riches of this world. Riches that do not come from possessions or things or money, but riches that come from God in ways of love and grace. All this we pray in his name. Amen.